Oh, that was a good one. Yes. Oh, we've got the sparkling lime cooler. We've got the agenda. Dave's here. Got the bucket hat on. I think we're set, Nico.
Yeah.
It's potty time.
Mm-hmm.
It's potty time.
It's Ashes time.
It's Ashes time. It's our Ashes special.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen.
5 days.
5 days till
five
the Ashes.
5 days, Jim.
As of recording, so I'll try and get this up in the next few days, hopefully. Yeah. So, get it out before the first test.
I reckon get it out on Tuesday, I reckon.
Get it out on Tuesday. I'll try and get it out before then,
day
if
before
I can,
the Ashes.
To be honest. But yeah, nah, this is our
I'm keen.
Super Mega Ashes preview, extravaganza, etc., etc.
Yeah.
So, welcome back to Fine Leg podcast, and this is a big episode, Nico.
Yeah.
This is an absolutely massive episode because we've got a massive series coming up.
Yeah.
This Ashes series, there's so much to talk about, Nico.
Yeah.
So much has happened. There's going to be so much drama. There's so much anticipation for this, and I don't think we've had this much anticipation for an Ashes series on Australian soil in quite some time. Maybe, possibly since 2007 even.
Yeah, because 2013-14.
Even 13-14, I don't think it had this much build up or anything.
It was like, yeah, we'll roll in 5-0, easy.
No, I don't think it was. It was probably up in the air because England had beaten us a few times, but I still just don't think it has as much interest as this what this one will have.
Yeah, even the Big Bash fans will be getting on board this
week. Oh, yeah. Even the casual cricket fans might have a look, have it on the telly and say, ooh.
Cricket.
Who the fuck is Alex Carey?
No, I don't know who Alex Carey is.
Oh, yeah, because he actually plays in the Big Bash.
No, they'll just be like, who's a player that doesn't play Big Bash in the Test squad?
I don't know. Will Pekowski.
Pat Cummins doesn't?
No, Will Pekowski's not playing.
Josh Hazlewood barely plays.
No, well, they're going to know Cummins and Hazlewood. Maybe like someone like Cameron Green. Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, casual fans wouldn't know who he is. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Fuck's sake. All right, Nico.
I'll have to kick it off with the fine.
Okay, yeah, we'll do some fines.
So the other day we had Jim's massive rave birthday bash.
Yes, we did.
And a mate of ours, Ethan Jenner, wanted to borrow my pants because they weren't shorts. And it's been 6 days and he still hasn't returned them. So I doubt he's listening to the podcast, but Ethan, if you are listening, I will probably just like clip this up and then just send it to him just so he knows.
Yeah.
Give me back my pants.
They're his only set of pants, so you should probably give them back. You've only got one pair of pants, don't you, Nico?
No, I have a couple.
All right.
I would require them.
All right. You got any more fines?
No, that's about it.
I've got one for Ian Chappell, just for being
What's Ian Chappell?
I don't know, because it was going on about the other day about... I can't remember. I honestly can't remember now.
So what's he finding?
It
was you can't even remember what it's for.
Yeah, but it was on like all the cricket pages and stuff. They'll know what I'm talking about. He was just saying bullshit, you know?
Okay.
Something about Steve Smith, I think.
Ah, okay.
Being promoted to vice captaincy.
Actually, I got another fine.
Yeah, what is it?
Mick Molloy for just being very unfunny. I was watching the Ashes special on the front bar Ashes special. Really good. They had Sir Lord Ian Botham.
Yeah.
And they had Ricky Ponting on.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, you know, they got Sam, they got the other bloke. I can't remember what his name is.
On the Titus front. O'Reilly.
Might be
that bloke, the bloke with the hat.
Yeah, that bloke.
Yeah, that him.
Yeah, and then they had Mick Molloy, and he's just I just can't stand him sometimes. He just tries to be funny, but it's just
I think he's a bit out of his depth with the cricket stuff, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think he's better suited to the footy.
I think
I do rate him.
I mean after watching like the Night Watchman, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
That actually know how to
Night
make...
Watchman is goated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just love the one where they had Michael Vaughan and they're like and Michael Vaughan was going on about the Aussies celebrating a drawn test series, the last Ashes. And they're like, oh, well, how about the Ponds celebrating a drawn World Cup final?
Yeah.
That was pretty fucking funny. Anyway, so any more fines, or we're just going to get kicking
fines,
on?
Fines? No, I think I'm good, to be honest.
All right, cool.
I think I'm all good.
All right, yeah. Now let's kick on.
What
with
is the first thing on the agenda?
Squad reviews.
Squad reviews. Previews.
Also, I made the agenda myself without
any... I know, I actually let Nico plan this one.
Yep, I had no adult supervision.
It was dangerous, yep. Given it's a big episode, but
I think I'm up to the task.
Very, very busy, and I needed Nico to do me a favour and do most of the planning for this one, so...
Yeah,
we'll see how this goes.
All right, squad reviews.
We're not just going to, like, read through the whole squad, are we?
We can.
Nah. We don't have to... We'll pick some players out of this. So, obviously, on the last podcast, we spoke about how we thought Josh Inglis was probably the...
Candidate for...
The number one candidate for the open wicket-keeping spot. So, naturally, the selectors just decided to give it to Alex Carey, because we can't select for shit, apparently.
No.
So, even the bloke who averaged 73 in the Shield last year can't get a game.
Yeah.
So it was either the bloke who averaged 73 in the Shield last year but hasn't played a Shield game because they picked him for the T20 World Cup and didn't f***ing play him.
Yeah.
The bloke who's averaging 21 in the Shield this year and is an average wicketkeeper who has some leadership credentials. Or the bloke who's averaging 47 in the Shield this year who actually has good leadership credentials and is probably the best keeper in Australia. Of course, they went with the second bloke. Not the last bloke. Jimmy Pearson. Probably a bit stiff. Jimmy Pearson, actually, no, that's a fine I've got for the whole media. Barely even got a mention in that discussion. It was always Inglis or Carey. Pearson did not get a mention.
Even Felipe got a little mention.
Yeah.
But more than Pearson.
Even Hanscom was popping up on some of those. Like,
he doesn't even keep anymore.
No, Hanscom, Wade, like, I don't understand it.
Like, I
don't
understand
why they were there.
I can understand them picking him for the number five spot.
No, I can't. He's past it, Nico.
Really?
He's well past it.
He's made a fair few runs recently.
Not in red ball cricket, he hasn't.
He has.
He hasn't played red ball cricket.
Pete Hanscom.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Wade.
No, Hanscom.
No, he's not going to... Fucking hell. He's not going to be ahead of Khawaja or Wade, is he? What?
Oh,
Khawaja
now,
ahead.
For fuck's sake.
Oh, good start,
it's
this.
Too early for you, Jim.
Need more line cooler.
Okay.
But yeah, no, Jimmy Pearson did not get a mention in the media at all. It was always Inglis or Carey. Carey was always, seemed like the favourite. And, like, the media's blown up about it. Obviously, he's been announced to make his debut already. It's not going to be Inglis, which I'm, a bit pissed about. Because Inglis is just a better player than Carey. I don't know. I guess Carey's just been around the setup longer and... maybe has a bit more experience than Inglis. That's why they've gone with him. But again, he's averaging 21 in the Shield this year. He's played a fair few games and he's not doing that well. And he hasn't been the best gloveman over the past few years. You know, there's a lot of reasons I can't understand about why they've selected him there. But who knows?
You know, he might make a ton in his debut.
Yeah, he probably will now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'd prefer him over Payne as a player overall.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, Payne was fine, like, for the last
temporary.
Couple of
years.
Because he was captain, it was like, oh, well, they're not going to select anyone else because he's the captain, and we don't really have anyone else to be our captain, so I guess Tim Payne's the best we've got at the moment.
Yeah.
So there's no point trying to select anyone else, even if they might be better at keeping or batting or whatever. I think Carey's better at both. Oh, keeping's probably on par. To be honest, the batting...
Well, Nathan Lyon seemed to really think Tim Payne was probably the best gloveman in Australia.
Yeah, but that's because he's been playing so much cricket with him over the past few years.
Yeah.
They've got that chemistry now. But then again, I think he feel like he's dropped catches off him anyway. He's been dropping a lot of catches over the last few years. So I probably wouldn't be surprised if Carey does it as well. See, Inglis...
Well, when Nathan Lyon's on song and is getting it in the rough, you know,
yeah,
it's
that's
not the easiest.
Yeah, yeah.
As much as I think Nathan Lyon's washed up, he can bowl decent at times.
That's just Nathan Lyon for you, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think Inglis probably would have brought a different dynamic to the side coming in at number seven rather than having someone like Payne who's going to stay there and consolidate more, whereas Inglis is going to be aggressive and...
Have a crack.
And I think that is something we probably could have almost used.
Yeah. I think Carey, when he's on, he can do both. He can do either.
I think he's probably more suited to batting at sort of like a number five sort of role rather than a number seven.
Yeah.
To be honest, because that's where he bats in the Shield. He bats at number 5.
And then he opens, obviously, in white ball cricket.
He can bat sort of anywhere from opening to 4 in white ball cricket, I guess.
Well, I think, I remember in the Big Bash, they opened him, and then they were saying that he might be making his white ball debut for Australia. So they're like, oh, we'll drop him down to 4 or something, because that's where he'll probably bat for Australia. Mm. And then he did no good, so.
Yeah. Well, I think he bats in at 6 in the ODI side.
Something like that, yeah.
6, I think Maxwell 7, or however they like to do the order there. But, you know, I think Inglis probably has a bit more run scoring capability and could have brought a bit of X factor to the side. And it could have been a very interesting talking point as well. Could have brought an extra dynamic to the whole
fiasco.
Yeah, surrounding the Ashes with, obviously, because he's from England. He was born in England. He was raised in England. Stayed in England until he was 14. Didn't move over to Australia until he was 14. Still has a bit of a British accent.
And that's like...
And he could have gone out there and made his debut against his home country for Australia. And that,
maybe he might go...
That writes itself, really.
Maybe he might go next Ashes when it's over there. Maybe he might play.
Yeah, when he's 31 or 32 and... I don't know, Nico. There's an argument for all three of them. I don't know if they've picked the right option. That's just my opinion, but... Who knows? I hope he proves me wrong, to be honest, Carey. As much as I like Inglis and I like Pearson, I think Carey has the potential to be a good test cricketer. I think he has for a few years now, but whether he stands up is another question entirely.
Well, I'm assuming he'll probably play all 5 tests.
Yeah.
Carey.
I can't see
unless he them making makes a change pair every game.
Yeah, unless he's like really, really bad, then I think that's when you look at maybe Inglis, maybe even Pearson. I think it depends. Well, see, this is the shit thing, Nico. They're going to be picking off Big Bash form.
Yeah.
Because
that's the problem
Big
now.
Bash is starting earlier this year, and they're going to be playing the Big Bash with the Ashes, which is just not what you want. Again, this is for another episode. We're going to do a whole episode on how we can fix Australian cricket, because it's fucking broken, Nico. It's just broken.
You're really depressed this potty, aren't you?
Am I?
Are you okay?
I need more line caller.
Are you okay, Jim? You're very negative about everything at the moment.
Probably because it's zero sugar. Well, I spent all morning editing the other podcast. So I was listening to you going on about how we can start a charcoal chicken shop.
And how does that minutes. Not get you buzzing?
I don't know. I'm trying to be.
What's wrong,
I'm really
Jim?
Trying. No, I'm just pissed off that they pick Carey over Pearson and Inglis. Okay.
Well, let's move on from that.
All right. What are the big sort of... Well, we've got the number 5 spot. Who do you think?
We've got Head Khawaja.
It's Head or Khawaja. Yeah. We're going to go with that. So,
yeah.
Nico, who do you think is going to take that spot and why?
Who's going to take that spot? That's a very good question. I reckon Travis Head.
Yep.
Well, I would like to see Travis Head over Khawaja. I think... I can't remember who said it, but they were saying that like picking Khawaja would just be a backward step in selection.
Yeah, that's Warnie.
That was Warnie
saying that.
Yeah.
And he's right to a degree for once. Warnie's actually been pretty good with his media stuff recently.
Yeah, he's been...
I know he's got that whole thing with Stark, but he's right with Stark.
Maybe he's been listening to us.
I don't know. Did he listen to the episode where I fucking went off at him?
Maybe he
last
did.
Last season?
Maybe he did.
Oh. I don't know what's going on with Warnie. Fell off his motorbike as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That happened. Maybe he knocked his head and knocked some sense into him.
Fucking dickhead.
Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah.
But yeah, he's actually been decent with his media stuff for once. He's not just talking out his ass.
Mm.
He's actually saying some stuff that he can back up and not saying Darcy Short should be playing test cricket for once.
So who do you think should take that number?
Well,
spot?
I think it's really going to depend on who makes runs in that Australia A game.
If it happens, because I think they're saying it's going to be raining up in Brisbane. So
is it really?
Yeah. And AB.
Well, in that case, I think they're going with Head.
Yeah.
It's 50-50, Nico.
It really is 50-50.
It's 50-50. Like, Khawaja's probably more in form. I don't know. Maybe at the Gabba, I think. Maybe Khawaja?
Maybe Khawaja.
On his home deck?
Yeah.
That could be a deciding factor in that debate. Yeah, I think. Well. Khawaja's obviously, I think he's got the better average. He's the leading run scorer in the Shield, or he's up there at least.
Yeah.
And, okay, I'm probably going to say Khawaja now.
I'm going to say Khawaja.
I think I'll say Khawaja for that first test. And if he doesn't perform, then Head comes in at the Adelaide Oval on his home deck.
Okay.
You know, it's... I think even if Khawaja comes in, I think the pressure's on him to make runs. If he doesn't, then Head straight in. Yeah. Those two could chop and change all series. It might... Obviously, they might give one of them a chance if they perform okay, but maybe don't go on if they get a start. They might give them another chance, but if it's maybe a 10 and a 15, then, well, you go on because the other bloke's knocking the door down.
Because they're very similar bats, like the most similar batsmen you can get. They're both left-handers.
Similar aggression, I think.
Yeah, I think they both have two separate gears where they can consolidate or go for it.
And they both get nicked off all the time.
Yeah.
So, obviously, in terms of technique, they're not similar, but...
Yeah.
I think, yeah, I know what you mean. Like, in terms of how they score, I think they're similar. How they attack, they're similar. They're wouldn't say they're aggressive batsmen, but they like to bat with a positive intent most of the time.
Yeah.
I don't think Khawaja, obviously... No, yeah. That's...
What were you going to say, Jim?
No, I was going to mention his struggles against spin, but that's long gone. I think he's proven that he's more than capable against spin.
In Australia, you know, there's could be a whole lot of spin troubles, I don't think.
No, that's what I was going to say, yeah. Well, who's England's spinner? It's Leach, isn't it?
They have...
Or is Bess there? Or is both of them there?
Yeah, Dom Bess, Leach.
I feel like they're going to go with Leach to start with.
Oh, and they got Dan Lawrence, who bowls leggies.
Oh, he's...
Part-time.
Not going to offer that much, I don't think.
No. I'm spewing that Parkinson isn't coming.
Yeah, so am I. I really thought Matt Parkinson would be...
That ball... I know it's 100, and I know that's, not really much, but that ball that he bowled was, like, turned more than the ball of the century. Like, was better than Shane Warne's ball of the century.
I really think that England could have used a bit of X factor with a leggy...
Yeah.
In the side.
Because I... It's weird, because I think leg spinners, they seem to always find a way to get very good batsmen out.
Because I don't think he... there's always the chance that Parkinson could have got absolutely smashed bowling on flat wickets in Australia.
Like Mason Crane.
I don't know. He's a hell of a lot better than what Mason Crane was, though. Like, I really rate Matt Parkinson as a bowler.
Because he's played a few T20s and ODIs for England.
He's been around the England setup for a while, a few years now. I'm really pissed off they didn't play Big Bash a few years ago when the Stars had him contracted.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't give him a game. Because that's the year that we had Dale Steyn and everything.
Oh, yeah.
So, couldn't really get a game, which was really unfortunate. Yeah, I think he could have injected something into that England side that might have just troubled Australia a little bit more than what Leach or Best probably could have. Like, they're just sort of boring bowlers. They're your typical English off-spinners, I guess.
Yeah.
Parkinson's just... Yeah, it brings that different element. Could have maybe picked up some wickets that...
I think if you have a very talented leggy, your side can go very far.
Yeah.
You think of, like, Shane... Like, how Shane Warne got, like, his... I don't know, they had, like, McGrath, Lee, all those sorts of blokes, but...
I think leggies just offer something different to what off-spinners do.
Yeah.
Off-spinners will try and tie a bloke down and sort of work him over, but I think leg spinners can just sort of make something out of nothing.
100%.
That's why I really like to see Swepo in at some point. I don't know how they're going to fit him in. I think he's bound to play test cricket at this rate, though.
Yeah.
He needs to start bowling with red balls again.
Yeah.
Get himself into some form, but we saw last season, even on Karen Rolton Oval, on some of the flattest wickets in Australia, he was... taking tenfers and stuff and winning the game for Queensland.
Yeah, even blokes like Tanvir Sanger, like, you can see there's something in him. Like,
Yeah. It's, again, it comes back to that X factor that I was talking about, that some off-spinners, most off-spinners probably just don't have. Nathan Lyon can bring it out every so often, but I think leg spinners just have a tendency to be able to create stuff more than what off-spinners can.
100%.
Yep. All right, Nico, so moving on.
So do we want
to... Well, I think... Okay, so in the Stark squad? Versus Richardson, I think, is the next one.
Yeah.
We need to talk about. Thoughts?
See, Stark will definitely play in the Gabba test. I think that's bound to happen. Stark's going to play.
Yeah, knowing the selectors, I think Stark's going to play. As much as everyone wants Jai Richardson to play, including me.
I mean, I think we're going to start implementing that resting system. for the series.
See, that's the thing, though. Like, if you play Joe Richardson at the Gabba, like, Stark has to play the pink ball test in the second test.
That's very true.
So, what are you going to do? Are you going to play Joe Richardson in the first test, and no matter how well he does, do you drop him for Stark in the second test? And then, what do you do from there? Or do you just back
you
Stark in for the Gabba and Adelaide Oval, and then maybe bring Richardson in
for the MCG. MCG? I would do that, yeah. Because
I have a feeling that's what they're going to do, to be honest.
I'd definitely have Stark, Hazelwood, obviously Cummins is going to be playing.
So, well, you're not going to drop Stark, Cummins or Hazelwood unless they're injured.
No.
Or pull up really, really sore.
I mean, people are saying that Stark's been a bit wayward, but he's been bowling white ball cricket. You know, it's...
No, but it's over the past few years in red ball cricket, he has been wayward. But I suppose, a lack of consistency with his bowling.
I suppose throughout his whole career, he has had that inconsistency with his bowling, but...
He got it right for a while, though, in that middle period. When he first started out, I think he struggled to break into the test side because he was better at white ball bowling. He always has been better at white ball bowling. I think he's one of the best white ball bowlers in the world. But I think at the start of his career, he struggled to control the red ball. I think was a bit wayward.
I think
struggled for consistency.
What series? I think it was the last Ashes series. Like, the last Ashes series and then the India series following that, where we didn't have Smith and Warner playing. I think seeing him with the new ball, first ball of the summer, I think that's just gotta happen. I think he can make things happen, I think, with that new ball.
I know he can, but it's when you get later in the innings and he's not doing much, the ball's not swinging as much, and I think Richardson probably has a bit more to offer.
Yeah, I think
from that point,
I think you're gonna need him for the MCG test, where it's gonna be a shit of a pitch.
Yeah, and see if Stark's wayward at the MCG, then it's like, yeah, they're just gonna absolutely murder him. I think Richardson's probably got a bit more control with his bowling, control, but he also obviously offers pace and swing and everything, and really puts batsmen in trouble. And he had that game a couple of weeks ago where he was bowling at the Gabba, I think it was. And there were blokes coming off saying, like, this is top quality fast bowling from Jai. And I don't think we've seen that from Stark in red ball cricket for quite some time. So, like, I don't expect the selectors to go with Jai Richardson, but I really would like them to, just to see him back him in. I think we will see him at some point this series. I don't think they're going to make the mistake that they made last season where they just played three fast bowlers for the whole series.
Yeah, and then they have to go to, I think, what's the tour after this one? I think we go to New Zealand for some white ball.
I honestly don't know, but I don't think they're going to be looking past the Ashes at this point, to be honest. Their focus is solely on the Ashes, even during the World Cup, I think it was. A bit frustrating with the World Cup leading in, because I think it just served as a bit of a distraction for the Ashes.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Wasn't great, but, you know, it is what it is.
I think Stark, first and second game.
And then bring Richardson in and then go from there.
Yeah.
I think we'll see Cummins play every game. Hazelwood might miss one game.
I can't think of which game Hazelwood would miss out on, because I think he's the same bloke that can make things happen.
I feel like he might miss out Sydney if that's
a turning wicket.
It depends if they choose to rest him or whether he gets injured, I think. As I said before.
Because he's not really that prone to... injury.
He's not. So, you know, it depends how they go, really.
And who knows, Stark might break his foot again or something like that.
No, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out from a selection point of view. How do you think Marcus Harris is going to go opening?
I reckon he's going to go fine.
Yeah, we saw him bat decent at the Gabba when he made his debut. Was it at the Gabba?
Ooh.
I think it was. It was against India, remember, because he came in for that first test.
Yeah, I think it would have been the Gabba.
Yeah, I think he batted okay then. I think he's really got a point to prove this time around. Because I think, obviously, we saw him speak in the test about how he thought he's never going to play for Australia again after he dropped that catch and didn't perform that well with the bat. I think he knows...
That was hard for all openers in that series.
He knows he has to make runs here or he's done.
And he hasn't... I don't think he's made a whole lot of runs in the Shield cricket this season so far.
No, but he's only played, what, two or three games?
Yeah, for Victoria. Victoria's only played, I think we've only had really one game.
I don't think it's going to affect him too much, to be honest. I think this is one of those situations where you go out and it's adrenaline.
Completely different.
It's fight or flight, really.
Yeah. But he did have a good winter over in England.
He did.
He did have a very
he
good...
did.
Very good
and
time.
He's been the standout batsman in the Shield for the last 4 or 5 years, and I think he's earned his spot, definitely. I think it's just whether he proves that he's one of those blokes that can actually make it at international level rather than being one of those blokes who's really good at domestic level but can't cut it at the top level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if it doesn't work, then would you reckon Khawaja might open?
Yeah, I think they could throw him in.
So that's a possibility?
Yeah. Otherwise... No, yeah, I think probably Khawaja.
I don't think Pekoski...
Pekoski's not coming back until...
Next summer.
Well, not next summer, as in New Year. I don't think he's going to be ready until around then, maybe after the Big Bash. I think they'll give him as much time as he needs, given his history, so...
Yeah.
No need to rush him back, I don't think.
So if one of our openers were failing... Who would you bring?
So, well, obviously bringing Khawaja because he's already in the squad.
Yeah.
Other than that, looking past that, Maddinson maybe.
Yeah.
Maddinson, I think Henry Hunt they've got their eye on.
Yeah.
Who could be a good sort of complement to one. He'd almost be like what Renshaw was a few years ago in 2016. I mean, they do have Renshaw as well. They're looking at him who's been in some decent form. He made a big ton in the One Day Cup the other day. So... You know,
just getting the Australia A squad at the moment.
So I think they got Bryce Street and Henry Hunt booked in for opening in that game. Then middle orders made up of Renshaw, Maddinson,
Marsh.
I think Inglis was Marsh as well. Inglis was supposed to play, but I think he's gone back to WA, so I don't think he's playing.
Yeah.
So I assume. Actually, I don't know. I'm guessing Pearson's going to come in then because Payne's not playing.
Quite possibly, yeah.
So obviously Carey's going to keep for the Australian side, so I'd say Pearson, given he's already in Queensland, of course, he's going to keep for the Australia A side.
Yeah. So the only openers would be Millie Manson.
Yeah.
Street, Hunt.
They're not going to go with Street yet.
Yeah.
Street's still young, he's still like 23 or whatever. Hunt's, I think he's a little bit older, and I think he's probably just a bit more mature in terms of his batting, and he's been really good form in the Shield, so.
Renshaw hasn't really opened in ages.
Renshaw hasn't opened in a while. I don't think he's had enough practice against the new ball to be slotted back in there straight away. So I think maybe, they go with a bolter like Henry Hunt, probably, if all else fails.
Yeah.
Whether they do it ahead of Maddinson, I mean, hopefully it doesn't come to that point. Harris stands up, but...
Hopefully Harris and Warner can stand. Well, Warner's definitely not going to get dropped.
They're not going to drop Warner, but I don't expect him to have a good series either. I don't think he's going to do much.
Okay.
I mean, that was one of my big calls, that Warner wouldn't make a ton this summer. What were my other big calls? I think, obviously the Tim Payne one came true a little bit sooner than I expected. There was one big call that I was going to make on that predictions episode that I saved for this episode, which was that I think Marcus Harris will make his first test ton. If he was going to play, but then it was looking like he wasn't going to play, but now he is.
But now he's confirmed.
So, I think he will. He's going to play, and I think he will make his Test 100, his first Test 100, and I think he'll do it at the Gabba.
Okay.
To be honest.
I reckon he's going to do it in the second innings, because he is a second innings specialist.
I think he will as well. I think he'll probably make... I think he might get a start in the first innings.
Yeah. Like a 20
or he won't make many and we'll go, oh, here we go again with Harris, and then he'll stand up in the second innings and have a big knock.
Okay.
Yep.
Alright. So, it's half an hour, Jim.
An hour already.
And we haven't even spoken about the English squad yet.
Oh. Well, what do we have to speak about in the English squad?
Well, obviously Stokes coming in.
Stokes is coming in. He came in, was a late selection in that side. Wasn't in the initial squad that they announced, but obviously it's Ben Stokes and they're going to select him if he's available. So that's going to... I don't think it throws a spanner in the works. It's just a bit more for Australia to worry about.
Yeah. But I think
I don't think Australia were too fazed by him not being selected in that initial squad.
Yeah.
I think Nathan Lyon always expected him. He came out and said that they always expected him to come over, or they were planning for him to come over anyway.
Yeah.
So plan for the worst and then go from there.
Obviously,
no Moeen.
What do you make of the bowlers that they've bowlers got, that they're going to be having? I don't think they're going to cause too much issue, to be honest.
I think Mark Wood could cause a lot of issues.
Mark Wood and maybe Robinson.
Jimmy Anderson, I don't think he's going to do much.
Not anymore. I don't think he'll play in the Gabba, but I reckon he'll play in the Adelaide Test.
Oh, he'll definitely play the Adelaide Test. He might do a bit there, but definitely sort of maybe the MCG game and the... It'd be interesting to see if they even pick him, to be honest. I think they'll pick him for Adelaide,
yeah.
But I think if I was picking that side, I think I'd probably go with, Wokes, Wood, Broad as the three main fast bowlers, and then Ollie Robinson possibly coming in after that. Yeah. If the ball's... Adelaide Test, I think Jimmy Anderson has to play, of course, because he's Jimmy fucking Anderson.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Spin bowlers, I think, as I said, Leach will probably be their number one to start with.
Yeah, I think Bess... I'm surprised about Bess, because Bess hasn't been that good.
And
in India, he barely took... Root took more wickets than Bess in India.
Bess prefers the English pitches, I think, and especially the wickets in England that are better for spin.
Yeah.
I think so.
But I think in Australia, I know we keep harping on about Matt.
I don't think they need Parkinson. Obviously, Bess usually bats at sort of 7 or 8 and can actually hold a stick.
Mm.
But I don't think they're going to need that in Australia if they've got sort of Wokes.
No.
Who's half decent with the stick, batting in the lower order.
Wokes, Stokes.
Well, Stokes will bat at four or five.
4 or 5, yeah. Bairstow.
Bairstow's there, Butler's there. Their batting's... They bat deep. It just depends on whether we...
And Root's in the form of his life.
That's true. It'd be interesting to see how Root does this series.
Actually, no, Root will probably bat 4. Do you reckon... Oh, what if we see Stokes at 3? Imagine that.
No, I don't think so. I think we'll see... It's Milan, isn't it?
It'll be... I reckon
probably, yeah, Crawley's there.
They'll probably open with Hamid and Burns, I'd say.
Yeah, yeah.
Crawley 3, Root 4, Stokes 5, and then the rest of them.
Bairstow, Butler, Wokes.
Maybe even Lawrence, Butler.
I think Lawrence is probably more of a backup option, to be honest.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see who takes that number 3. Crawley hasn't been great. Burns hasn't been great at the top of the order either, but Hamid will definitely play.
Yeah.
I sent you that video of all that.
Oh, those post shots that
he was playing in county cricket. Oh, yeah. It's just so nice. Hamid's good to watch
when he's on.
Batting well, yeah.
I remember in his comeback, he made a duck, I think.
Mm.
And we're like, oh, here we go.
Well, yeah, because he came into the England side when he was 18 or 19 a few years ago. And
then he got injured.
Was good and then got injured and wasn't doing anything for
years.
He was... Looked nowhere near it.
Despite the fact that they went through 20 different
openers,
partners with Alistair Cook.
Yeah. He was in the midst of all that.
Mm.
But yeah. No, I think Hamid's probably someone they're going to look at as a long-term opening option. Burns could potentially get dropped if he doesn't make any runs this series.
Yeah. I can't see.
I mean, Crawley can open.
And they got Dawid Milan. They have a...
Dawid Milan would bat,
he could bat
in the
three.
Middle order. 3 to 5, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I can't see Dom Sibley.
Yeah, it could be interesting. But yeah, I think we might see Ollie Robinson at some stage. He's probably might offer a bit more than someone like Anderson. Stuart Broad will play because he's still a class bowler.
Yeah.
I think England's probably a bit more comfortable with that sort of rotation policy than what Australia is.
Yeah.
So they will put that into effect, especially with the COVID bubbles and everything. I think if they're still doing it like that, I'm not sure how strict they're...
I don't think it's going to be all the restrictions and everything. I think now that we're not going to WA, I think that's not going to be as strict.
Well, they've done their quarantine and everything, so
yeah.
I think they're sorted with that sort of thing. So, and yeah, I don't... Well, that's another talking point, Nico. Do we want to move on to that now with the fifth test? Have we got anything to talk about from a selection point of view, or
no,
nothing more? So, well, yeah, that's a big talking point that's come out during the week, or that Mark McGowan's really enforcing hard restrictions on coming into WA.
So what was it? So they had to
quarantine. They have to quarantine for 14 days before coming in, which isn't going to work.
No, not that won't fit the schedule.
No, because they're playing at sort of early mid-January.
I think it was the 14th of January.
So, yeah, around then. But that's not going to work. It's just not going to work, Nico.
Nope.
And it's for all players. Yeah. Like English, Australian. And they're not allowed to bring their wives or girlfriends either, so.
Yeah. So, what do you propose as a fifth test, Jim?
Hobart? Give it to them. I don't see why not. Like, I know the MCGs or Melbourne said that they would be willing to host it.
Yeah.
But I don't see any reason not to give it to Hobart. Like, what have they done not to deserve the test match?
Because they've had test matches before, haven't they?
Exactly. I don't remember the last Ashes test they had down there. It probably hasn't been in years. And looking back to the days where they actually had six test series.
Yeah.
But I'd love to see an Ashes test in Hobart.
Hobart, yeah. What about Metricon?
No.
No?
Not for a test match.
Not for a test match?
No, not Metricon.
Haven't we had... That's where we've had.
And for the love of God, please not Manuka. I don't want a fifth test being played at Manuka Oval.
I think we played Sri Lanka at Manuka.
Yeah, and it was an absolute run fest.
Yeah.
And if it hadn't been anyone but Sri Lanka, it would have been a draw. But we just rolled them.
That's true.
Yeah. So, I think Hobart. What about you, Nico?
I mean, as a joke, you know, you could say Junction Oval or...
Love it.
Karen Rolton.
No, it's got to be able to host a crowd, you know.
I think, probably Hobart's the number one candidate for me because they've had a lot of international cricket.
Well, they're the sixth international venue.
Yes, really.
They used to have a lot of international cricket when they were actually seemed to be playing more of it. They've had one days or they did have the T20s down there just to give Hobart some international cricket for the sake of it.
Yeah.
But no, I can't remember the last time they had a test match in Hobart. It might have been that South Africa game that was absolutely shocking.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
That was, the Callum Ferguson game. Yeah. That was Callum Ferguson's only test. And he got dropped after that. And they brought Renshaw in for the next game. And Maddinson or whatever it was.
Yeah, it was Maddinson, Hanscom and Renshaw.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But yeah, got absolutely massacred down there by South Africa, who were just moving the ball. Philander was just all over us.
Sideways.
Yeah. But I think it could be an interesting test if it's down in Hobart. England, I think, might have a chance in that game.
Yeah.
And it could be interesting if the series is tight, too. Yeah. So, I mean, if it's, 2-2 or...
So you don't think any venue should get double up of the series? Because Warnie was saying that a day-nighter at the MCG...
No, I don't think a day-nighter would work at the MCG, to be honest.
No,
I wouldn't. I mean, maybe, but probably not. I think Adelaide Oval was the best venue in Australia for the
day-nighters.
The day-nighters. The Gabba one didn't work that well, I don't think.
No.
No.
From memory, no.
No. No, but anyway, I think another thing we should talk about is that the fact that England have played 12 tests in the last, year or so, and Australia haven't played since the Gabba test against India.
Okay. They
played no test cricket for, 9 months or whatever.
Yeah. Okay.
That's interesting. And only a handful of players have played red ball cricket in that time. So it could be very interesting to see.
Do you reckon they'll impact the first test?
Potentially, but I think Australia, given that was their last test, they're going back onto that ground and they're going, we're not f***ing this up again.
I think because it's the Ashes as well, I think everyone's pumped.
Well, we saw what happened in that game in 2013-14 where... We really had a point to prove. Mitchell Johnson came out firing.
Yeah.
And we really just looked like we wanted to beat them. We just, I know, I think they gave us a bit of a fight, but after Brad Haddin had that big knock and got us back into the game, I think it really showed that we're up for the fight and ended up rolling him in that test and set the tone for the rest of the series. And I think that's what we're going to do here. Just go and... Look to be aggressive and just absolutely roll them.
Okay. So do you want to go through... We'll go through each test and see... We'll predict our sort of results for the test?
Yeah, I reckon.
All right, so kicking off with the Gabba.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, as I said, I think Australia is just going to come out, be aggressive and roll England.
Rolling, yeah.
I don't think England's ready for what Australia's going to bring. I think England thinks we're going to be softened up a bit by the whole Payne saga. New captain coming in. Cummins doesn't have a lot of experience in the role.
Cummins is going to be sledging the hell out of America.
I think Cummins is going to be... He's going to surprise a lot of people with his captaincy.
Okay.
I think, obviously, they've got the dynamic with Smith as the vice-captain, who's going to make a lot of field changes and decisions.
Yeah. I wouldn't say
it's like dual captains, but it almost is kind of like having co-captains
I don't understand how the people are saying that, like, you know, Smith shouldn't control the game as much as what Cummins, you know, people are saying, like, Cummins should be worried. I'm like, what difference does it make?
Don't they want more leadership in the side?
Yeah.
You can't just have one leader in the side because that doesn't work.
I mean, that's like...
You want as many leaders out there as possible.
That's like, you know, say I was captain in the fifths and then Ricky Ponting was my vice captain. I say, Ricky, I'm not going to listen to you. You know, course I'm going to listen to Ricky Ponting. Cummins is going to listen to Steve Smith.
Yeah, because that's when Michael Clark took over and Michael Clark was captain. Ponting was still there.
Yeah.
But obviously wasn't making the decisions because Clark was. But yeah. I think Australia have a surprising amount of leadership now, going from almost no leadership to quite a bit, because obviously they got Warner in there, who's just experienced.
Who was Steve Smith's vice captain?
Number three, Marnus. Smith's vice captain. Number five is either going to be Kawaja or Head, who are both captains of their state. Number seven's Carey, who's captained in ODIs before. And then obviously you got Hazelwood, who's been vice captain before.
And Chris Green. And Cameron Green.
Chris Green in the test side. Let's go.
Cameron Green. I don't know.
I think Cameron Green and Harris are sort of leaders in their own right.
Yeah.
Probably more so with Green and Marnus, probably just let their cricket do the talking, I think.
And then all the bowlers, bar Cummins, obviously.
And they're all pretty experienced, aren't they?
Very experienced. So.
I think it's a good looking side. Can't poke too many holes in it, I don't think.
No.
It
just depends on...
Obviously, we have weaknesses.
If
we're not playing well, then it could all go to shit. But, you know, if I see this as a big opportunity for the Australian side to stick it up England and really prove that...
I mean, this will really prove a lot about Australian cricket. And
I think it will. It'll tell a lot about where Australian cricket's at the moment. Because this is the big series that they've been looking towards ever since probably the last Ashes, I think.
Yeah.
The India series last summer was sort of like, I don't know. Like, it just didn't seem as big as what it could have been. I think Virat Kohli not playing most of the tests didn't help that.
Yeah.
A lot of Indian fans probably lost interest in that. And then we somehow ended up losing that.
Yeah, that after series. Rolling them for 36.
Yeah. Shit hit the fan and...
I think there's a lot of hurt after that series, I think.
Yeah, and that's why I think we've got a point to prove.
Yeah.
Haven't played any test cricket since that series, so it's... Yeah, that's why I think we're going to come out firing at the Gabba.
Gabba...
Harris is going to make a ton. Carey might make a 50. Blokes will... I think Marnus will probably make a few runs in that game.
Yeah.
Kawaja, if he plays... Oh, who knows? Yeah. And obviously Steve Smith... It's Steve Smith playing England.
Yeah.
So...
He's bound to...
I'm not saying we should expect him to make runs, but obviously he loves playing England.
Yeah.
He just loves it.
Even if he's not on song, he's still going to grind and grind because it's England.
Yeah. We saw that at the Gabba Test in 2017, didn't we? Yeah. Where he didn't make... Wasn't a traditional sort of Steve Smith innings. He had to grind a bit more than what he would have liked to. I think he was on 90 for... 30 balls?
Something
like
that.
He was on 90 for about an hour.
Yeah, that's
right. In the 90s for about an hour and had to really, really grind.
Yeah.
And it ended up being one of his best hundreds that he's made, I think.
But in saying that, New Zealand found a way to get Smith out cheaply with Neil Wagner. Do you reckon England are going to use that sort of tactic?
Possibly.
Using the short ball?
Mark Wood could be interesting. Because he obviously not as accurate as Wagner, but with that extra bit of pace, I think he's bowling 150 or at least 145 plus consistently. so it could trouble the batsman a little bit.
Do you reckon Smith will be troubled, or do you reckon he's just going to be like, I'm staying here?
It depends if he's got his eye in.
Yeah.
As it always is with Smith, I think, yeah, as finds his hands. I think Cameron Green does have a good record at the Gabba, so it could be interesting to see how he goes in that game. I think he could potentially make runs. Didn't make 100 last year. It was probably unlucky not to make 100 last year. Mm. I think Cameron Green will make his first test run this season.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so 1-0 at the Gabba.
1-0 Australia.
Adelaide.
Adelaide. I don't know, Nico. I feel like England could...
I reckon it's definitely going to be a draw. I think the only test that has the potential of being a draw is the MCG test.
Hobart, potentially, if they play it down there.
Yeah.
Adelaide, it's hard to call, Nico.
Mm.
I think it depends on how England's batsmen decide. It'll
be a much more closer game than what the Gabba will be.
The Gabba could be. Especially if we roll them at the Gabba, I think Adelaide could be England's way back in.
Yeah, especially if they have Jimmy Anderson coming in.
Yeah.
Hooping it.
I think Australia's batsmen could be in a bit of trouble. I mean, crazy to think what Mark Wood could do with a pink ball.
Yeah.
Even Stuart Broad with a pink ball could cause problems.
Even Wokes. Wokes is...
Oh, yeah. Wokes. Like, keep forgetting about Wokes. He's...
Like, Wokes, probably... Wokes, he opens the bowling with the white ball.
And Wokes with a pink ball.
He can move it. I'm actually going to say 1-1.
I mean, because I don't want to... I don't think there's any game in particular that I think England will win, but I think England will win a game, and I think this is their best opportunity to win a game.
Yeah.
100%. If not Hobart, maybe. If they play it down there.
Yeah.
Okay, I think for this, we just assume that they're going to play it in Hobart.
Yeah.
So, I think I'm going to go with England for this one.
So, 1-1 England? 1-1?
I think so.
All right. MCG, straight to a draw. It's going to be a terrible wicket.
Well, don't expect that, though, because the wickets in the past few years haven't been terrible. Ever since the last Ashes game they played there, it hasn't been...
Oh, yeah. And they were under a lot of scrutiny. It's been under okay. A lot of scrutiny.
It's done a little bit. A little bit. Not a lot.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think this one could be a draw. Probably a few hundreds going around. Bad all day. And probably see a couple of England players make some big knocks.
Mm-hmm.
I think the bowlers might struggle a little bit, but yeah, I'm going to say draw for that one.
Yeah. Then SCG.
Sydney.
Are we saying it's going to be a spinning wicket?
Yeah. It's just a classic SCG wicket, as it usually is, I think. It'll offer a bit of spin and maybe come into play sort of day three, and then day four and five, it'll really start turning.
Yeah. So we're going to say Swepo is coming in?
I don't think so. As much as I want him to, I just don't see how they're going to fit him in unless they get rid of Stark and really put some faith into Green. Or they take out Kawadra or Head if they're not performing and put Mitch Marsh in at number five just to offer a little bit extra.
Okay.
That's the only way I can see him playing is if you go with Marsh at number five with Green offering support and then take and don't have Stark or Richardson in there and have Swepo, Lyon, Hazelwood and Cummins.
Okay.
As the bowlers. But other than that, yeah. As much as I'd love to see him in there, I don't think he will play in that game. Right. But I'm still going to go with Australia for that game.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yep.
I think... Because if it's going to be a spinning wicket, and they've got two spinners that don't... I don't know. They don't really give... I can't really see them as exciting bowlers.
That's what we're saying with Parkinson before. Like, off-spinners... The English off-spinners, it's just sort of... Yeah, your typical sort of off spinners, like, well, offies, like, slow left arm, whatever.
You just watch them bowl and you're like, I can't see them getting anyone out. Like,
because even Moeen could do a little bit of something when he was bowling. You just don't get that feeling with Leach or Bess.
No. Like, the only way I can see them getting a wicket is from an unforced error from a batsman, like, where he just plays a terrible shot or something.
Yeah. I think that's probably how they're probably going to get most of their wickets. And going back to what I said before, the sort of blokes that are just going to try and bowl good areas and work blokes over and wait for the batsman to make a mistake rather than... creating a wicket themselves.
But if they bowl like the same five balls to Smith, you know, the sixth ball is going to go over their head for six or something. Like
I think, yeah, in that game, Nathan Lyon probably shows us he's still got it. He's not washed up, Nico, and he bowls us to victory in the second innings.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So, what, fifth test, Hobart? We're going to go with Hobart for this.
Stay with Hobart.
It's tough to call, Nico. It depends what wicket they serve
up. So we've got 2-1. So Australia up 2-1 so far.
I think it has the potential to be a draw.
Okay.
It's probably more suited to English conditions than...
Because it'll be pretty overcast over there.
Overcast. I mean, it's the middle of summer, so it's not going to be completely, like, sort of cooler weather.
Yeah.
Typical Hobart. I mean, it's still Hobart, of course.
Yeah.
It could suit the English a bit more, I think.
Yeah. I reckon...
What do you reckon, Nico?
If it's in Hobart, I know that... I reckon Jimmy Anderson will only probably play the two games there in Hobart and...
Hobart and Adelaide.
I reckon that's the only two I can see. Jimmy Anderson.
I think Anderson will play that fifth test. Yeah. Because I think the two options at the moment are Hobart or a Melbourne pink ball test.
Yeah.
So, obviously, it's either Jimmy Anderson bowling where it's going to be overcast. Jimmy Anderson and clouds is just... You won't name a better combo, will you?
No.
No. Or just Jimmy Anderson and pink ball. So, I don't know. It's really hard to call that one, Nico.
I think at the moment...
Especially given we haven't had a test down there for so long.
Yeah.
Either way, I think Australia is going to win the series. I can't see England winning the series.
I reckon
so, it's either going to be 2-1 or 3-1.
Yeah, I reckon... I'm going to... Because I have come into... this episode saying Australia's going to win 3-1, so I reckon Australia will win the Hobart test.
Yep.
If it's at Hobart.
Yeah, I'll go with that as well.
Win the
test. Yeah.
I just think with England, they've got a lot of depth in their batsmen, and they've got a lot of options with their batsmen, but I just don't know if...
It's not like any of those options are going to necessarily stand up, I don't think. They're all sort of, they might do okay, but will they actually do okay?
Yeah.
So, like, Bairstow's, I don't know, he hasn't been the best, but he can do it. You know, it's sort of that extra batsman.
I think Bairstow likes to... I think Bairstow's good at standing up at the right time.
Yeah. I think it's that one out of sort of Crawley, Milan, Burns even, whoever's taking that, or Lawrence, whoever's taking that extra spot in there, it's going to be what Australia's going to target. That's going to be their weakness in that middle order, I think.
Yeah. I think England's lineup has the potential of losing all 10 wickets.
It does, but at the same time, it's fairly solid, I think. It's not, like... They're bowling solid, I think.
I don't think we're going to run through them.
No.
Like what we did in, like, 2013-14.
See, this is what's great about this series, Nico. There's so many unknowns.
Yeah.
I'm struggling to, like, make predictions because it depends on... I think we're going to struggle to make predictions until after we see what happens in the Gabba test.
Yeah.
In a few days. 5 days, did you say?
Hmm?
Did you say it's in 5 days?
Yeah. Saturday, Sunday, jeez. Monday, Tuesday.
Wednesday. That's come up quick.
Yeah.
That's also awesome.
I know.
Test cricket is back, everyone.
There's one whole test match before they gather.
I'm keen, Nico. I'm very keen.
Who isn't keen? So you're saying 3-1, the Aussies?
3-1. I'm going to back in my predictions that I made, whenever. Can't remember when it was, but...
Yeah,
I'll go 3-1. Australia win that final test.
All right, so we've done the series prediction. Now, player predictions. Who's going to be player of the series?
Player of the series? I don't know.
Is it going to be an Aussie or an Australian? Actually, how about... Who's going to be your player of the series for England and who's going to be your player of the series for Australia?
Again, it's difficult. I think it's probably just going to be Ben Stokes from England.
Yep.
Joe Root will probably make runs, but I think Stokes will probably be the one that keeps them in games.
Joe Root's going to be the one that's going to make the most runs for England.
But I think Stokes will come up with in the big moments and
maybe
just keep them in the series in some.
Yeah. I'm actually really keen to see what Stokes would be like with a batting with a pink ball.
Have we seen him with a pink ball before?
I don't think we have. That's why I'm so keen for it. Because I don't think he came over...
Could be interesting.
Because he didn't come over 17-18.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because he was punched a bloke.
Yeah.
So, play of the series for England's going to be Stokes.
Stokes hasn't been hasn't played a test in Australia since 2015, has he? That was when he made his debut in 2013-14, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he batted very, like, he made a ton of the whacker.
He did. Yes, he did. Nico, there's so much. There's so much going on here.
Yeah.
I haven't been this excited for a test series in a while. Not since the 2019 Ashes, I don't think. It's, yeah.
Unbelievable. This is big.
It's huge. It's huge. I'll keep saying it. It's big. It's absolutely massive.
So you've got Stokes as your player of the series for England.
For Australia, it's hard to call.
I'm going to say Smith.
I think the easy thing to do is do Smith, but...
maybe Marnus, because Marnus hasn't...
I feel like it could... It's Marnus is always going to make runs.
Oh, I don't know.
I kind of want to say Cummins, maybe. Yeah.
I'm going to say Smith. Smith, most runs for Australia. Jay Root, most runs for Australia. For England, so whoops. And then series, player of the series... For Australia, Smith,
player of the series. For England, me, player of the Stokes. Series for Australia is out of whoever makes the most runs, whether it be Smith or Marnus.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be one of those two.
You don't think Warner...
I'd love to be surprised.
Warner,
I'd Harris. Absolutely love to be surprised by someone else. Not in a bad way, of course. Yeah. Like, if someone's actually comes out and has a big, big series, then I'll be pleasantly surprised. Not if it's just low scoring and no one's making runs and...
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be the situation where we rely on Smith and Marnus like what we did over there.
I hope not.
It's not going to be... I don't think... It definitely isn't going to be that, but I think...
See, again, I don't think Warner's going to make runs.
Yeah. I think Harris is going to have a solid
series. Harris will have a solid series. Green will have a solid series.
And then whoever comes in, Head or Khawaja,
or Hedge. Who knows?
If one of them doesn't perform, the other one will.
It's really up in the air, that. Carey, I think... Again, don't know. Don't really know. It's going to be interesting to see how that
plays out. This is a hard series to predict.
It really is.
All right. Well, who's taking the most wickets for either side?
I think Hazelwood for Australia, and I reckon it's going to be Mark Wood.
Hazelwood and Wood?
Wood or Wokes. I think Wokes is always up there. He's taking wickets because it's just Chris Wokes.
I'm going to say Wokes. I think Wokes. I do really like Wokes.
I love Wokes. He's a great player.
You know, the thing is, I hate England with a passion.
Yep.
But I love all their players. I really like their players.
Like, their players are great. It's just that they're wearing baggy blues instead of baggy greens.
Yeah. Oh, how was fucking Mark Wood talking shit about the baggy green or something? What a tosspot.
Oh, scary.
Anyway. So, that's... this series covered.
Yep.
Now, have at the bottom, if there's any Ashes moments.
Favourite Ashes moments of all time. Do you have any
favourite Ashes moments of all time? Oh, there's one. Jim?
That really, really stands out for me, Nico.
Yeah.
Oh, there's two, actually.
Yeah.
First one, Ryan Harris, second innings, at the Wacker, 2013. Running in, Alistair Cook's facing up.
Yeah.
Just nips it off a length. Just clips the off stump bail.
Yeah, that was, I reckon that was probably the first series that I actually really... Like, it took me a long time to really get into watching cricket. Yep. I think that was probably the first series where I really got into watching it.
Yeah,
I'd say
probably similar. But yeah, that first ball of the century. It's just so good. The second one is Steve Smith's comeback in 2019.
Yeah.
Where he comes back and makes 2 tons, digs us out of a massive hole, and... Yeah, just...
Honestly... Great. This might be a bit controversial, but I actually prefer watching the Ashes over there, when it's over there.
Okay.
Because I just like just sitting down at the couch, late at night, just watching it.
But you're still sort of on the edge of your seat going, what's happening?
Because I stayed up till like, what was it, like 2 o'clock in the morning watching that Edgbaston test. I actually really enjoy watching it, and I was just like, I was shaking because I was so nervous about it. It was...
Yeah, that was good.
It was incredible.
That was good. I remember we came to school the next day. You were cooked, but
I didn't even,
absolutely
I missed,
buzzing.
I missed first period.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because I slept in.
But it was fantastic. Yeah. It was absolutely fantastic. Yeah. So, is that your favourite moment, or? What is your favourite moment, Nico?
What is my favourite Ashes moment? Oh, such a difficult one.
Mate, you wrote the notes. You should have an idea.
I know. I really like Nathan Lyon's run out to James Vince.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
I mean, there's so many to pick from in the last few series, isn't there? Obviously, we're picking since we started watching. We're not going to go back to 2007 or before, even as iconic as the series was.
Yeah.
We weren't there to see it.
Like, we were five.
Yeah.
George Bailey's 26 or whatever, yes, Jimmy Anderson's bowling.
So many great moments from that 2013-14 series.
Actually, a funny one is Shane Watson batting, spoons one straight up in the air, then Ian Bell drops it, and then whoever was bowling just grabs the ball and just pegs it at the stumps and he got run out.
Oh, yeah.
So Shane Watson literally spooned the ball straight into like the middle of the pitch, and then whoever was fielding dropped it.
I can't remember who that was, but yeah.
I think it might have been Ian Bell dropped it, and then Stuart Broad ran in out, I think. Oh, and I liked Michael Carberry's helmet in that series.
Yeah, that was random.
Yeah.
I don't know why he bats in those sort of helmets. I'm sure there's a story behind it.
But... yeah. Oh, and I liked all of Shane Watson's reviews during those series. Just anything and everything.
Yep.
Just review after review after review.
Yep. Anyway, Dave, you got anything to say? No, it's still not talking.
No.
Fuck. All right.
He's buzzing.
He is. Look at him.
He's got his eyes wide open and he's just freaking out.
5 days, Nico. Five days.
5 days.
Until the Ashes.
I'm so keen on that tie. I'm tired now that I'm
get excited. So keen. Just get excited. Get some sleep before it because you're not going to be sleeping during it.
You're going to be lapping
it up, getting as much Ashes content as you can. The only problem is that
I'll be freaking working at night, so I'll be missing like the last session of most days.
That's true. I start at 6, so I can probably get most of them in.
Wait, I just want to have a look. What days will I be able to actually watch?
Oh, well, obviously Saturdays are out because we're playing cricket.
Yep.
So we can't watch during the day. Ashes and gentlemen, get excited because Ashes is coming. And we're going to wrap up this podcast now because it's been going for a long time. But that was our Ashes special. We'll do reviews after every test. I think that's what we're planning on doing.
Yeah.
So we'll
do mini reviews.
Release an episode after.
We'll probably do a mini review after each test and then we'll just
do one big
Ashes special at the end.
Yes, that's the plan.
And then also, Jim, you know what starts this weekend?
What starts this weekend, Nico? Is it the Big Bash?
It is the Big Bash.
Fuck the Big Bash.
Why does it start on a Sunday? Why would you start it on a Sunday?
It's Cricket Australia, Nico. Also,
anyway, the Big
Bash... I honestly don't care.
The Big Bash starts in 2 days of recording.
Now you've just ruined this whole build-up that I had.
The Sixers...
I was going to get excited for the Ashes and... You go, no.
The Sixers play the Melbourne Stars.
I honestly don't care, Nico.
7:35 at the SCG.
I don't care.
On Sunday, the 5th of December.
No one cares.
Get keen for the Ashes.
Not the Big Bash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We hate the Big Bash.